Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Chase Hines. You may know me from around the church or from a Connect group. My family moved here to Creston a year ago, and it has been such a meaningful year connecting here with the church. And I can now proudly say that I'm interning here at Erickson Covenant under Pastor Tom. I'm using this time here to explore a call I felt to ministry. Nearly 6 months ago, I ventured up to the harbor at Ryandell to Headwaters, an intensive discipleship program where I grew my faith and my faith life. It was here at Headwaters that I felt this call to ministry. During my time here, I'm being mentored by Pastor Tom. I'm co-leading a Connect group. I'm learning with interns across Canada and exploring ministries in the church, such as Kids Zone and preaching now. This has been such a great journey of faith, and I don't see it ever ending. Let me share a story. So when I was coming into the age of responsibility, my parents would leave me home alone. Sometimes they would leave dishes in the dish rack beside the sink to be put away. So they would leave. I would go about my day, building Lego, reading books, playing on a Nintendo Wii. Sometime later in the day, the door would open and in would walk my mom and dad. They would see the dishes still in the dish rack, still waiting to be put away. And they would reprimand me for not putting them away. Unfair, right? I wasn't told that this was one of my responsibilities, but yet I was still punished for not doing it. Have you ever been unaware of something that you were held accountable for? Have you ever been responsible for something that you were not told about? Jesus actually tells two parables in the Gospel of Matthew about people who didn't know what they were held responsible for. In the Gospel of Matthew, he shares these two parables, as his last teaching to his disciples before Passover. He shares these parables so we know exactly what we will be held responsible for at the end of our lives. We begin at Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, he gave 2 bags of gold. And to another, he gave 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Each according to his ability. God knows our capabilities in life. When he places a task in front of us, he knows he has given us the strength to complete it. Jesus continues. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. The man who had received 2 bags went and gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag of gold went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, "You have given me 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." As the servant does his master's will, so does his ability to do his master's work. And thus grows his responsibility as well as his reward. God gives us the ability to complete his tasks. He doesn't give us tasks that are beyond the strength he has given us. As we fulfill what God lays before us, our ability to do more grows as well. I'm so encouraged by this, as I know that as God does his work in me, even in the small things, what comes from it will grow. The master doesn't tell the servant that his work is done. Quite the opposite, actually. The master puts him in charge of even more. And he also invites him into his own happiness. So this means to me that the more faith that I have, the greater the rewards will be for the responsibilities I have been given. Verse 22. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. The second servant hasn't made as much as the first servant. The first servant made 5 bags of gold. This servant only made 2. Let's hear what the master has to say about this. His master said, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." He says the exact same thing as to the first servant. So the master isn't looking at the net outcome. He's looking at the effort put in by each of their abilities. Both servants doubled what they were given. Both servants put in the same efforts, and thus will both reap the same rewards. I don't need to have the most. I just need to stay responsible for what God has given me. Where I put my efforts is what God cares about. Efforts in loving others, especially people I don't like. Growing faith through scripture and understanding. Going out into the world and seeing Jesus in the people looked down upon. Verse 24. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." So this servant didn't do anything with the gold that he was entrusted with. His master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seeds. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." This servant put no effort in. If this servant had put in as much effort as the other two servants, he would have made another bag of gold. Making 1 bag of gold may not seem like a lot when compared to 2 or 5 bags of gold. But remember, God is looking at how we are responsible for what we have. This can be challenging. It seems as if we could all do so much if we had more. So why don't we? If we are not prepared for more, we could stumble and lose it all, and we'd be left with even less than what we had. we are given just as much as we can handle at a time. And as we become responsible for the little things, we actually grow the boundaries of our abilities. If we don't have 5 bags of gold, God doesn't expect us to make 5 bags of gold. Verse 28. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they do have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The final servant, who is irresponsible for what he had, was thrown out. Other translations call him unprofitable. When Jesus tells us this parable, he isn't talking about our money and making ourselves richer. Each of these servants had different abilities. So what came from this experience differed from each of them. One was given 5 bags of gold, another 2, and yet another 1. And this may seem unfair, right? Because there's a big difference between 1 bag of gold and 5 bags of gold. And maybe it would be unfair if Jesus looked at how much we made with what we have. But that isn't the case. Because the people who would have more would have such an advantage. Jesus looks at all the servants equally. Here, let's flip the story. So what if the servant who had 1 bag of gold traded it and made another bag? And the servant who had 5 bags of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid them. Who would have more when the master returned? The servant with 5 would have 5 bags of gold, and the servant who was given 1 would only have 2. 5 bags of gold is more than 2. So the servant with 5 bags of gold would have more, right? Well, no. The servant with 1 bag of gold proved that he was responsible for what he was given, whereas the servant who was given 5 proved he wasn't. And so he loses out on his master's happiness. In the case of the parable, the man with only 1 bag of gold was afraid to lose what he was given, so he did nothing with it. The first 2 servants were responsible for what their master gave, doubling the gift. And their master sees this, and he gives them their prepared inheritance, knowing that they are responsible for a higher task. After the master sees the servants being responsible, he doesn't just end their tasking. He actually gives them more. That's how it is with us. When we do God's will, when we are responsible for what he has given us, he rewards us and he guides us to keep going. To be responsible for more as our abilities grow, and all the more we share in God's joy. This parable also tells us that as we exercise God's gifts to us, our gifts grow in measure. And with that, we can do more. But if we fail to use our gifts, we lose them. As the saying goes, use it or lose it. And this is true with anything, with art, basketball, exercise, or even public speaking. Without using what we have been given, we lose it. But those who do use what they have been given grow it. Jesus tells us this parable so we know that we are responsible for what we have been given. In the next parable, Jesus tells us we are responsible for how we give. Verse 31 starts, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Jesus comes in his glory, bringing all the angels with him. The one who is treated so poorly, the one who came to serve, the lowest of the low, the one who died a humiliating death on the cross, is now sitting on his glorious throne. He is the highest, and we are gathered below him. Now we find out what really matters to Jesus as he renders judgment. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." This is what was prepared for us by the Father. This is our inheritance, God's original plan since he created the world. We continue. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you cared for me, and you came to visit me." This is how Jesus renders judgment. He tells us explicitly that we are responsible for how we give. Our efforts must be in how we treat the least of our brothers and sisters. Anyone can do this. If you have a glass of water and an open heart, you can do what Jesus tells us we are responsible for. This forces me to think of the last time I gave food to someone who was hungry, or a drink to someone who was thirsty. The last time I invited a stranger in. The last time I cared for someone who was sick. The last time I visited someone in prison. I'm not even sure what this looks like all the time. Verse 37 continues, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?'" The righteous are dumbfounded. Jesus tells them they did these things for him. But they say, "What? I never saw you this way. How could I have done these things for you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you have done for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever the righteous did for the lowest of the low, Jesus takes personally. Jesus is in us all. So what we do for those in need, we do for Jesus. But not everyone gets rewarded. Let us continue. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' The cursed go not for a place prepared for them, but for the devil. They did not care for the people in need. They did not care for Jesus. But those on his left are also confused. They will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and not help you?' The cursed are dumbfounded just like the blessed. But unlike the blessed, the cursed never had compassion. They turned their heads away from the needy, the ones who needed them. And in doing so, they missed Jesus. We can all miss Jesus, but he doesn't want us to. That is why he tells us these stories. He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did not do for me." Jesus doesn't just take what we do personally. He also takes what we do not do personally. The cursed were held accountable for something they did not do. Jesus doesn't want this for us. This is why he tells us these parables, so we know that we are responsible for how we give. We finish with verse 46. "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." When Jesus comes, he comes bearing the way to our inheritance, our reward. Those who did not live righteously in Jesus lose their inheritance and come to eternal punishment. To receive our inheritance, we must show that we are responsible. Responsible for what we have been given and responsible with how we give. So what do we do about this? This leads me to the Matthew 25 challenge. Jesus teaches these parables so we know what we are accountable for. We are accountable for what we have been given and for how we give to others. I want to ask a question. Who has a cell phone? Hold it up. Many people around the world don't get to experience the things that we do in life. A variety of food, a warm bed, good clothing, clean water. So I invite you to join me in the Matthew 25 challenge this week. We have partnered with World Vision Canada, who will issue a challenge each day to explain a situation in the world and implore us to live this day with one of these many setbacks. Live life like the people World Vision has set out to help. This is the Matthew 25 challenge.
"Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'"
The Matthew 25 challenge was a transformational moment for my family and I. There's one particular day when the challenge was to sleep on the floor, and I walked by my daughter's room, and she was already there on her sleeping bag reading her Bible.
The Matthew 25 challenge was an incredibly spiritual experience for me personally. God was teaching us different things every day, and sharing it with each other was really exciting.
Well, when it came to the Water Day challenge, three words come to mind: caffeine, withdrawal, headaches. Going without coffee all day was a lot harder than I thought. I'd get these headaches, but every time I did, it would remind me of the 6-kilometer walk that women and children have to do to get unclean water.
My first thought was, this will be easy. I grew up missing meals and sleeping on the floor, but my daughters, not so much. They were challenged to come out of their Wi-Fi life and actually experience what kids around the world experience every single day.
we want you to take the Matthew 25 challenge with us. Scan the QR code on the screen or text ECC to the number shown. And through this challenge, we will discover people who need us, people Jesus cares for. And in this venture, we will encounter Jesus for ourselves. I am looking forward to the Matthew 25 challenge and hearing the experiences we will all have during this next week. Starting tomorrow, you will get a text each day highlighting the needs of people around the world following what we have learned in Matthew 25. As we have discovered, we are responsible for how we respond to their needs. Jesus really cares for these people. That is why he told us these stories. I know for myself, I need to understand the needs of the people Jesus tends to. I want to be ready to give account to Jesus for what he gave me and how I gave to others. I want to be ready to stand before Jesus at the end of my life and know that I cared for the things Jesus cared for. Jesus shows us what it is like to care for the least of these. He came as a human to serve. To serve the least of these, our brothers and sisters. He calls us to live like him. To help those who cannot help themselves. To be responsible for what we have been given and how we give it. Our money, our time, our giftings. Each of us being accountable for these according to our own abilities. We must live our lives ready, always growing what we have and being accountable for how we give it away. Now imagine sharing in Jesus' glory, sharing his happiness. What would it be like to see lives impacted? To see the least of these shown love, care. We can do that through Jesus and for Jesus. He gives us all we need so that we can give back. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for everything. We thank you for revealing to us these parables so as to not leave us in the dark. You show us who you care for and give us directions so we can care for them. Let us turn our heads to the least of these, our brothers and sisters, so that in doing so, we may see your face, your happiness. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and let us find you during this week of challenge. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.